talking about the man arrested in front of Parliament yesterday carrying knives. It led to another operation that's resulted in one person being shot.
During the course of that operation, one of the subjects, a woman, was shot by police. She remains in hospital. I can say that her condition is serious, but it is stable. Because of her condition, she has not yet been arrested.
President Trump says being president's not easy. The president told Reuters he thought the job would be easier and he loved his previous life. Meanwhile, presidential spokesman Sean Spicer says the White House continues to be encouraged by moves in the White House to pass the revised health care bill. Spicer said the Trump administration's not pressuring Republican leaders to push that measure to the House floor by the end of the day. USA Radio News.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
The head of the NYPD very happy that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has changed his tune on the department. Here's more on that story.
Jeff Sessions last week said New York City was soft on crime, while Police Commissioner James O'Neill called the comment insulting. A couple days later, the Attorney General changed his tune, saying the NYPD has some of the best techniques ever and its tactics should be studied. O'Neill's reaction?
Obviously, somebody got to him and said, wait a second, NYPD does a terrific job. Maybe we need to say something different. And they did, and I truly appreciate that.
And O'Neill adds he knows what the department does every day and does not need anyone else to validate it. Scott Pringle, New York.
Major protests in Berkeley yesterday leading to major arrests. Here's more on the story.
Several groups of protesters showed up near the University of California Berkeley campus Thursday afternoon. The crowds included people upset because conservative commentator Ann Coulter canceled the speech planned at UC's Sproul Plaza. Other protesters were upset that Coulter had been invited to the Cal campus. Coulter pulled out after days of back and forth between two student groups who invited her to speak and university officials who said they were worried about safety. Violence broke out on campus in February, forcing the cancellation of a speech by now former Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos.
Maryland police looking for an escaped psychiatric prisoner. Howard County police say David Watson slipped away while being transported to a maximum security state psychiatric facility. The 28-year-old was seen running into the woods. USA Radio News.
This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good morning. No, good afternoon, Huntington. It's Friday afternoon, last Friday in April. Can we believe it? Well, we can because it is, and as of next week, we're into May. And today looks like maybe a June day. It's been beautiful out there. Sunny today, high about 81 degrees, mostly clear tonight, and then there is a chance of showers, but mainly after 2 a.m., low tonight is 58 degrees, so nice and warm. Good weekend to start getting your plants out if you haven't done it, because last weekend and last week was so nasty. So what's happening tomorrow? 20% chance of showers, then a chance of about a 30% chance of thunderstorms. And that's Saturday, again, Saturday night. Again, chance of thunderstorms, about a 40% chance of thunderstorms, and then tapering off to showers later. Again, let's hope that Sunday's prediction is wrong, about a 30% chance of thunderstorms. So it may be that part of the day is nice and part of it isn't. Sunday night, a slight chance of thunderstorms and then a slight chance of showers. And again, on Monday, there is a chance of thunderstorms. Now, the high by Monday, again, is going to be predicted 80 degrees. A little bit, excuse me, a little bit lower on Sunday, only a high of about 66 degrees. And tomorrow, although there is a chance of showers and then chance of thunderstorms, high of about 83 degrees. Sorry, people, for my voice. believe me, it doesn't sound good on that end, but it certainly doesn't sound good or feel good on this end. We'll be back with the program It's the Law right after a couple of notes from our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits. I'm your host of the program It's the Law. You're going to have to put up with me and my voice this afternoon. So hopefully I'll be able to get through the program, and we're going to be talking about some of the cases and legal news for the duration of the program. For as long as I hold out. Well, what is happening? One of the things that people need to be careful about is that even though a situation, or I should say comments, in a workplace might not create a hostile work environment, they may nonetheless violate the law against discrimination in a public accommodation context. This was the ruling yesterday in an appellate decision reopening the case of a transgender man who says he was subjected to threats and demeaning comments by officers of the Jersey City Police Department. So even though that did not rise to the level of hostile work environment, it could certainly still violate the law against discrimination. And I think that's the thing people have to be very careful about. Is, maybe some people say we need to be too politically correct today, but at least we have to be well aware and not make inappropriate comments, or frankly, we should not tolerate other people making such inappropriate comments. Well, there were complaints against some legislators and Judge Maenza. Judge Maenza was a sitting judge in Morris County, and what happened is the New Jersey Legislature's Joint Committee on Ethical Standards dismissed complaints filed by a group of citizens against two lawmakers and a candidate, although Judge Manza was not a candidate for a Superior Court nomination to the bench. He was actually up for reappointment, and his nomination drew fire because of his alleged abusive behavior towards litigants who appeared before him. And I certainly won't make any comment other than to say that judges also have to uphold certain standards under the standards of judicial conduct. And some of the things that were said years ago in court are just simply not appropriate. It's not that they were appropriate years ago. It's just that that was tolerated. And, you know, comments about minorities, certainly comments about women. Those of us who practiced law years ago heard enough of those comments. But in any event, Judge Meanza was not initially reappointed, but now he has been reappointed. Now this would have a break in his service. My recollection is that he has a break in service, which means that this is not a reappointment for a tenured position. Now, there may be some change. I don't think so, but my recollection is that because there was a break in his service, or I should say if there was a break in his service, then he's actually being appointed as if he was appointed for the first 7 years, and he'll have to go through the reappointment process at the end of the 7 years. I think almost everybody on the planet heard about the passenger who was forcibly removed from the United flight. Not surprisingly, the lawyers for the United Airlines passenger he really was notoriously dragged off a plane on April 9th, they've announced that they've reached a settlement, which means that they avoid a lawsuit that they threatened to bring. Excuse me. So that case has been settled. Another interesting case in the news, and if you are a commercial landlord or a commercial tenant, you should be very careful because the warning is it pays to be timely, especially in commercial tenants, what they call commercial tenancies. One common provision in commercial leases is that there's an option that requires the tenant to notify the landlord of their intention to renew the lease, or if there's an option to purchase the property by a specific date. And if they do not, they lose that right. And of course, when it is a situation where there are lots of empty buildings and tenants aren't worried about landlords evicting them, they were actually not renewing the lease because this would not be an eviction. So if a tenant is not worried about being able to renew the lease and, in fact, maybe even get more favorable terms, you know, and there were many years where that was the case, and at that point, tenants were not as concerned. However, things have changed and are changing, and in any event, if a tenant does not exercise the option to renew or to buy by a date certain, the tenant loses that option. There's some complicated cases. There's a civil rights case that was just reported. Where the police officers insulted and threatened an arrestee. It's Holmes versus Jersey City Police Department. And the court found that the conduct was sufficiently severe that a reasonable transgender person in the plaintiff's position would find the environment within the police station to be hostile, threatening, and demeaning. Therefore, the trial court was in error when the trial granted summary judgment dismissing the plaintiff's law against discrimination complaint, and that complaint alleged hostile environment discrimination in a place of public accommodation. Now, that is, as I said, it was an appellate division case. The scrivener, the judge who wrote it, was Judge Reisner, actually very bright woman, went to law school with her. And what the important thing to also understand is that it would be a reasonable transgender person in the plaintiff's position. So when they talk about who would be offended or who would find the environment to be hostile, threatening, and demeaning, they're not talking about a white male in the situation where the person was a transgender person. So that, for example, if you're talking about a female or a minority, you have to really look at what would be considered hostile, threatening, and demeaning to either a woman or a minority, not just kind of a general overall hostile, threatening, and demeaning. So that that is a slightly different standard, because certainly I can see where there may be many cases where women would think something is threatening, for example, somebody threatening them with rape. A man, white male, may not be as concerned, especially if the person doing the threatening poses no real physical threat. So that's just a very important thing that people need to think about. Who are you demeaning? Who are you threatening? And in this case, it shows that even though it wasn't a hostile work environment, because this was somebody who was being arrested, it still could be an offense against the law, against discrimination. Well, we have a personal injury case with expert witnesses, and this was a woman who was suing Walmart. And again, it was an appellate case, and in this personal injury case, the plaintiff appealed on several grounds from a no-cause jury verdict. Well, what is a jury verdict? This means there was a trial, and I'm not talking down to anyone, but there are a lot of these terms that we kind of bandy around in the law that I find many people don't quite understand, even some lawyers, and perhaps a few judges. But in any event, a no-cause jury verdict means that there was a jury who heard the trial, and after the trial, the jury said there was no basis for the plaintiff's complaint. So in this case, the plaintiff appealed, and among other things, the plaintiff argued that she was unduly prejudiced by the admission over her objection of extensive testimony from a defense medical expert. And the defense medical expert was opining that she had magnified her symptoms and her alleged injuries from the accident. So what happens in a case like this, personal injury, there would be an expert on both sides, or perhaps the plaintiff only has her treating doctor. But whoever Walmart hired, and they would have hired their own expert, the opinion of their expert is that the plaintiff had magnified her symptoms and her alleged injuries. Now, the testifying doctor, a neurologist, was not a psychiatrist, psychologist, or other mental health specialist. And so the plaintiff contends that the admission of this expert testimony unfairly impinged her overall credibility and therefore deprived her of a fair trial on both liability and damages. So that is the issue that the appellate panel was faced with. Now, the appellate division concluded that the expert's opinion on symptom magnification were improperly admitted, so that they said that the trial court should not have admitted the expert's testimony that she had magnified her symptoms. And also, the appellate division found that the plaintiff was sufficiently prejudiced by using that ruling to be entitled to a new jury trial on all issues. That's significant. They overturned the first jury and said, because of the prejudice, she's entitled to a new trial. Now, in doing so, the appellate panel, adopted the reasoning of other jurisdictions that have disallowed such expert opinions about symptom magnification, other equivalent concepts in civil jury cases. Now, they also cited an Eighth Circuit opinion in Nichols versus American National Insurance Company. That was a federal case. And the appellate division said, a qualified expert is not precluded, however, from providing factual testimony recounting observations the expert made about the plaintiff's physical movements or responses to testing during the examination. However, they're subject to the exclusionary arguments under a rule of evidence 403 that may be asserted on a case-specific basis. And the court also said that the qualified expert is not categorically precluded from testifying that a plaintiff's subjective complaints appear to be inconsistent with the objective medical test results or findings. And in addition, the court does not foreclose the admission of opinion testimony, that's from an expert, concerning symptom magnification or similar concept from a qualified expert in a non-jury case, which would also be subject to the same rule. So in other words, they're really concerned about the impact this testimony could have on a jury, an unfair impact. And that is a pretty significant case, actually. So there are a number of other cases that were unpublished. There are certainly a number of other legal issues, and we're going to be back in just a minute after playing a couple spots from our sponsors and giving me an opportunity to try to get a little bit better as far as my speaking ability, or at least voice. Maybe not speaking ability, but voice.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, we're back. It's the law. Frankly, I hope if you're not stuck in a car or absolutely stuck in your office, or for some reason in the house, get out there because it is a beautiful day and we still have, a couple more hours of light, and it really is going to be the best day. Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be the best day of the weekend. Although I've learned that whatever I say on Friday may not be at all accurate by Saturday. So, news, what else is happening? Well, a recent case against Sanofi, actually, it's lawsuit, and it's actually Sanofi looks like it may be the plaintiff here, because apparently, although lawmakers are scrutinizing pricing of the Milan EpiPen epinephrine injector, Mylan faces new lawsuits from consumers and a competitor, meaning Sanofi, in New Jersey federal courts, accusing it of taking anti-competitive action to protect its product market share. So this is the EpiPen. There's certainly a lot of people with severe allergies. For example, allergies, bees are one of them, that they have to carry an EpiPen at all times in the event that they're stung. They need it because they won't make it to a hospital. There's some other very severe, if somebody has very severe reactions. For example, the bees, if someone who is very allergic to bees is stung, they can go into anaphylactic shock and die before they ever get to the hospital. So in this case, the argument is not over EpiPen or the effectiveness of it, but rather that this company that makes it, Mylan, is being accused of taking anti-competitive actions so that it can protect its market share. And you can imagine these companies, a small rise or drop in their market share can mean millions and millions of dollars. So there's, unfortunately, a New Jersey judge is facing disciplinary action for allegedly intervening in a child custody matter. And when something like that happens, when there are complaints against judges, there's investigation. And at this, there was a hearing in this case, a judicial conduct hearing. And in this case, the judge said, she acted properly given the facts she had at the time. So this is something that would be handled internally, not swept under the rug by any means, but handled internally. So it's funny. We think of Facebook. People are on Facebook. People say the most unbelievable things on Facebook. You know, in my area of practice, I do divorce work, family law, and you will have somebody, let's say a divorced woman who's collecting alimony from her first husband, talking about how she and her boyfriend have been together for over a year. They've been living together. They just took a trip. You know, all kinds of things to show that, in fact, she's cohabiting with him. And that will, of course, give her former husband an opportunity to file an application to terminate alimony. But in this situation, it was the question is, since any good trial lawyer these days is keenly aware that jurors are revealing valuable tidbits about their personal lives and their views on Facebook and their interests, and even their social and political leanings, well, probably not even, usually their social and political leanings on such services as Facebook and Twitter, the question is, should a lawyer who selected that person as a juror or may know that that person is in the jury pool, should they go on Facebook to see what they can find out? I have not read any ethical opinion that would be improper, and it should not be improper in light of the fact that It's not like they're going through someone's garbage or getting anything surreptitiously. It's right out there. The person has put it right out there. And, you know, frankly, if you don't want people to know your social views or your political leanings, don't go on the on Facebook and advertise it. Although there are other ways. I mean, I certainly know that in New Jersey, because people register, if they're going to register as a Republican or a Democrat, it's fairly easy to find out what, at least what their political party, if not their political leanings are. But a word to the wise, in any event, be careful what you put on Facebook or Twitter. And please tell your kids to be careful what they put on Facebook, Twitter, or any one of the sites that they are on. Because potential employers look at these. You know, if they're trying to get into college, colleges probably look at them. I'd be surprised if they don't. If it's a very selective college and they're down between, you know, down among the selecting process and only have a few spots, you know, they're going to use whatever is available to them. So that is something to obviously think about. Now, this isn't a case that was published. It's what we call an unpublished case, meaning that it cannot be used in another case in court as precedent. But it's a good warning. The case is Saba versus Miller or Mueller. And in this case, the parties, who are neighbors, they share a common rear lot line. So in other words, their properties back up to each other. And so in this case, each of them filed an action for damages to property following Superstorm Sandy. Boy, will we ever stop hearing about Superstorm Sandy. I'm beginning to think not. But in any event, the people who appealed alleged that a tree from the other people's property caused damage to several recently planted saplings, i.e. young trees. Now, the respondent, and this is when I use appellant respondent, that's who they are in the appellate division. In other words, someone could be the defendant at the trial court, and however, they will be the appellant if they're the ones who filed the appeal. In any event, in this case, they use appellant and respondent. So the respondent counterclaimed, asserting that the appellant's property renovations resulted in increased runoff of rainwater and silt, and that caused ponding on her property. Now, following a one-day bench trial, now, what do we mean by bench trial? Simply means that it's a non-jury trial. So in this case, it's the judge who hears all the evidence. There's not a jury. So the judge hears the evidence and makes the decision. So the trial was one day. Both parties testified, and also the respondent presented an expert landscape architect, and the trial court dismissed the appellant's claims, finding that he had failed to carry his burden to prove that the respondent breached. The trial judge dismissed against one and dismissed because he said she had not breached her duty of reasonable care, or that any act of hers was the proximate result of her tree's uprooting. Remember, it was Sandy. So, however, the trial court found that the appellant's renovations resulted in damage to the respondent's property and awarded the respondent damages on her counterclaim. Now, this was all the trial court. On appeal, the appellate court affirmed, holding the trial court reviewed the evidence, assessed the party's credibility and made a determination that the appellant, whatever the appellant presented, failed to succeed in proving his claim. And they further gave the experts unequivocal testimony and found that there was adequate, substantial, credible evidence in the trial record to support the damage award. And so what happened is the appellate court upheld the judgment of the trial court. So that's when we call it affirmed. They didn't send it back. Well, there are a couple things they can do, more than a couple. In general, what the appellate court will do is they will affirm the trial court decision, or they could reverse a whole decision, or they could affirm part of it and reverse part of it. And when they reverse, they remand it back to the trial court. It's kind of, as I've explained before, a do-over. So in this case, they affirmed the trial court and what the trial court decided. So again, I'm going to take a short break, talk about a couple things from our sponsors, and then we'll be back. And I'll try to get my voice in better shape.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
That was in Spanish about NAMI 100, and very well done, whoever did the ad.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're back. It's the law. Actually, it looks like it would look like the appellate division did very little work this week. Actually, what it means is that there are a number of unpublished opinions that were generated, but not published opinions. And as I've explained before, sometimes the unpublished opinions take more time to decide and write an opinion than would the published opinions. However, there is a group who decides which opinions will be published, and actually, I'm not sure what the percentage, I did know the percentage of opinions that are published is really very low. So what else is happening in the news. I don't know anything about this case, but apparently a vicarious liability claim has been dismissed in a case involving a husband and wife attorneys who represented themselves as law partners but did not share profits. Must have been an interesting marriage. But in any event, that's the headline. I don't know anything more about that particular case, and I haven't seen anything, but I think maybe I'll try to see if I can find out a little bit more about it. So they practiced together, and said that they were law practitioners. They were law partners. So it'd be kind of like, you know, I can't even think of an example using my husband, but let's assume that he was an attorney and we practiced together, and the firm was Smiths & Smiths. Everyone would, of course, assume that either one of us had vicarious liability for anything done by the other. But according to this case, at least, even though the parties represented themselves as law partners, because they did not share the profits, the vicarious liability claim has been dismissed. So the vicarious liability claim would mean that if one partner is sued, the other partner can be sued because of this vicarious liability in the case. So Travelers Insurance has to be happy camper this week. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit ruled on an exclusion in Travelers Insurance Company's policy with a company hit with asbestos claims. And what this did is there was an exclusion in the policy, and obviously I doubt that anyone knew about it. So as a result, if nobody knew about it, it's kind of a situation where the fact that the company did not know about it means that they have to pay the judgment. And remember, in this case, it was $36 million to cover the settlement. So they saved, this insurance company saved themselves $36 million, which is no short amount of change. There is actually a case that really is going to save New Jersey millions, if not billions, of dollars in the future. There was a threat using the March 27th ruling. That, in fact, is what is changed this. Is the March 27th ruling, and it was the ruling was in NL Industries versus State of New Jersey, comma, and you know, I'll come back as soon as Susan is out of the room. Well, there are, you know, a number of other interesting cases, although they're not published. This Travelers Insurance Company case, what happened is the insurer appealed from an order requiring the transfer of a car title to the plaintiff. And the plaintiff purchased the car, and when the dealer did not provide the title or registration, he asked that the transaction be rescinded. So, and that the vehicle he traded in be returned. Now, the dealer refused, asserting that the traded vehicle had been sold, and plaintiff filed a customer complaint and requested an emergency hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to take another read at this because I'm not sure I'm explaining it as well as I could. So let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, let's go back and talk about this case because this is an example of how things can really get screwed up. All right? This was the insurer who appealed the order requiring the transfer of a car title to the plaintiff. Now, the situation is this. The plaintiff purchased the car, and when the dealer did not provide the title or registration, the buyer asked that the transaction be rescinded and that the vehicle he traded in be returned. So, think about it. Pretty practical situation. You go to a car dealer. You find a car you want to buy. You fill out all the paperwork. And you also trade in your car. Very common occurrence. Well, in this case, the dealer did not provide the title or the registration, which, of course, is needed to drive the car off the lot. And then also refused to give the gentleman his car back because the car had been insured. Excuse me. Not that the car had been insured. They refused to give the car back because the car had been sold. So then what happened is the plaintiff filed a customer complaint and requested an emergency title from motor vehicle. He filed a complaint with motor vehicle and asked for an emergency title. So motor vehicle refused the emergency title because there was an outstanding lien on the car. And what had happened is the lien's prior owner had traded it to the dealer with an agreement that the dealer would pay the lien. When the prior owner realized that the lien had not been paid, he reported the vehicle as stolen and filed a theft claim. So then what happened, instead the insurer paid the lien and the lien holder gave the certificate of title to the insurer. So the insurance company paid the lien. Once the lien was paid, the lien holder gave the certificate of title to the insurer. Now, at that point, plaintiff filed to restrain the insurer from repossessing the vehicle and wanted him to require, wanted the court to require him to transfer title to him. So the trial court found that the dealer had cut this off right now and take a short break and come back. I'm not sure I'm explaining this well, but I want to. So this is the kind of thing it would be easy for people to get involved in and without realizing the repercussions.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. And getting back to this poor guy who buys the car and, finding out that the prior owner had traded to the dealer with an agreement that the dealer would pay off the lien, which is another thing. Better make sure that if you do something like that, you check and that the fact the dealer has paid off the lien. Because otherwise, you traded the car in, you don't have a car, and you're still obligated on the lien, on the payments. Because remember, when you purchase a car and agree to make car payments, you are the one responsible for the car payments. You and whoever else is on the car note. But it's not the dealer. So if you go to sell back the car or trade it in and there's still remaining payments, you have to make very, very sure that, in fact, the payments have been made or are being made on not a weekly basis, usually a monthly basis. And the reason that this is important is that you're on the hook. So these are some ideas to help you with other things, but don't rely on someone saying, oh, I'll take care of it, because that's very problematic. So we're going to kind of finish for today, and we'll be back with the sports guys. I'm expecting to have a really interesting program, and we'll be back shortly with the sports guys as one of them is walking in.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The 8-year assault on your Second Amendment freedoms has come to a crashing end.
President Trump speaking to the NRA today, the first time a sitting president has done that since Ronald Reagan in 1982. The president slammed the Obama administration, saying in the White House now is an administration that actually supports the Second Amendment.
We will work with the NRA to promote responsible gun ownership, to protect our wonderful hunters and their access to the very beautiful outdoors.
The Pentagon admits they are investigating whether two Special Forces soldiers killed in a firefight in Afghanistan died as a result of friendly fire. The military today releasing the names of the two men who gave their lives for the country, 22-year-old Joshua Rogers of Bloomington, Illinois, and 23-year-old Cameron Thomas of Kettering, Ohio. USA Radio News.
Only twice a year, and it's here. Kohl's lowest prices of the season. Prices so low, no coupons needed. Get the lowest prices of the season on women's Sonoma tees, just $4.99. $5 Tala Jumping Beans tops and bottoms, and Nike sneakers, just $43.99. Get the lowest prices of the season on kitchen electrics, $4.99 after $12 mail-in rebate. Plus the big one bath towel is just $2.99. Stock up, save big, and get Kohl's cash. It's the lowest prices of the season, Wednesday through Sunday, at Kohl's. Select styles. See store at Kohl's.com for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I just got to town, and I need a presentation printed for a big meeting tomorrow.
Well, Staples has everything you need to print, scan, and fax.
Great. Oh, just got a text. The home office made changes to the presentation.
No problem. You can access your files from a USB, email, or the cloud.
And the meeting isn't tomorrow. Now it's today.
Our machines are self-service, so there's no waiting.
And it's not here. Now it's in Ebensburg.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
Print, scan, fax, and copy at Staples, your office away from home.
A high school in Flagstaff, Arizona, has been struggling with a spate of letters threatening violence against the school. The latest just yesterday. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The 17-year-old girl reportedly confessed to writing Thursday's note. It's the seventh threatening note found in recent months talking about violence against Flagstaff High School. It's still unclear if the girl's behind the other notes, but police are taking the threats seriously. School officials are warning parents about the notes and asking for their help in catching the person or people behind the other notes. If a tip leads to an arrest, there could be a $5,000 reward. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
Former President George H.W. Bush is recovering at home after being treated for pneumonia. A spokesperson for the Bush family says the 92-year-old former president released from Houston Methodist today. He was admitted for a persistent cough that was diagnosed as pneumonia on April 14th. A short-term spending bill making its way to President Trump's desk after quick approval in the House and Senate. It funds the government for 1 week. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Former Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders sounding off on what President Trump said about North Korea during a Reuters interview. Correspondent Chris Barnes has a wrap-up.
When you're talking about a major, major conflict, what you're talking about is a nuclear war.
Senator Sanders speaks on CBS's This Morning about what President Trump said in a Reuters interview yesterday.
There's a chance that we could end up having a major, major conflict with North Korea.
But Sanders, who of course is often at odds with Trump, says he trusts the president when he says he's turning to diplomacy first.
The goal now is to bring the world together, especially China, to tell North Korea that economically they are not going to survive if they continue development of nuclear weapons.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Some new Ford F-150 owner might find a very unusual surprise on the ticket for their car. Here's more on that story.
The Facebook CEO was in Detroit Thursday, where he spent time working on a Ford assembly line. Zuckerberg said in a Facebook post that he helped assemble some new F-150 pickups by adding antennas and drilling screws. Zuckerberg said, "I even signed the inspection sticker on one," and added, "You're welcome, future F-150 owner." A Ford spokeswoman said Zuckerberg spent time talking with employees and was given a tour of the plant. The Detroit Free Press said the trip was part of his New Year's resolution to connect with more Americans. Zuckerberg has said he plans to visit and meet with people in every state by the end of the year.
USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, and this is the Sports Guys. We're still waiting for John and Bill. However, I have a special guest today, and I will introduce him as soon as I tell you about the weather. Unfortunately, this looks like it's going to be the best day of the weekend. It's sunny, it's warm, it's been a beautiful afternoon, at least 81 degrees. They predicted 81, I think it's even warmer. Tonight, mostly clear, but then there's a chance of showers. And tomorrow, we have about a 30% chance of showers and then another 30% chance of thunderstorms. So let's hope that the prediction is wrong, because on Sunday, there is still about a 30% chance of thunderstorms. We can have expect some rain tomorrow night and again on Sunday night. And into Monday, about a 30% chance of some thunderstorms or at least rain. So we're here. My guest today is Tommy Devlin. And Tom actually was one of the first sports guys. He started with me on the program. Oh, Tom, that must have been about 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Sounds about right to me.
And he went on to bigger and better things, but I really wanted him on the program today because this, of course, is, do we call it draft weekend? I mean,
yeah, it's the NFL draft weekend right here local in Philadelphia, the most exciting time of the whole offseason, without a doubt.
Well, Tom, did you consider going in? I mean, Tom, unfortunately, Tommy is a Eagles fan, and I kind of wondered